You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. So great to have you with me, folks, on this Friday night in our beautiful state of Wisconsin. It is was a gorgeous day, and now it's a beautiful night. Conrad Krieger working the board, wishing people Happy New Year ad nauseum. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. You know, so I just was listening to the intro, you know, and so you're actually not wearing a cup today because you didn't leave the house.
I didn't have to wear a cup when I leave. I'm pretty safe when I'm in the house that no one's going to try to rack me, so to speak. My wife occasionally will give me a knee to the groin just as kind of a public love gesture.
That wow.
Kind of, but when I leave the house is when I'm at risk. You just never know.
Yeah, that's true. You can never be too careful, you know?
Correct. So we've got, just something. How long were you waiting to say that to me when you played that intro? Like, I'm going to lay this baby on.
I'm all about quick liners today, you know?
Do people even wear cups anymore? Like,
I assume it's like
a catcher.
You have to wear. I think you have to in high school.
Yeah,
and maybe even college too. But I don't know why you wouldn't wear one.
I think everybody in the MMA wears one, unless they all have similarly misshapen penises.
Okay. Yeah. 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 All right.
Like, even the girls wear, like, MMA catchers, I don't know that they wear them in the NFL. I don't know that they do much. It seems like they can cause more harm. Like, if it gets dislodged or something and then you take a hit, that could do probably more damage than just taking one right to the seeds.
You know, I think you have to wear one in high school. I'm not totally sure, though.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For high school football, I should say.
And my kids, when they were in martial arts, or back when I used to do martial arts, you had to wear them if you sparred. But again, I don't know. It's a tough one. I would love to see what the science says on that one, Conrad.
The let's science. Think about that. Okay.
Take a memo. Take a memo and let's look into that. Let's get our lab coats on and check it out. If you're just joining us, folks, we had a lot of fun first hour talking to our pal, Greg Bach, who hosts mid-mornings here on Civic Media from 9 to 11. Check out that show. Greg does such a great job. And he's always fun on Nightlight. We love talking to Greg, and he is flying solo since the great Jane Mattner retired just a couple 3 weeks ago. And we've got, and by the way, the first episode or the first hour of tonight's show is available in podcast form on at civicmedia.us. So check that out. We also read some texts and our question of the night. Let's fire it up again. Here's our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What's your favorite arcade game? Folks, let's take a trip down memory lane. You got quarters or you got singles and you're going in to get quarters. Most likely, if you like the popular games, they were taken when you got there, if you went at peak hours. But what is your favorite arcade game? What got you excited to get to the arcade and play? I said track and field, Dig Dug, and a game called Mr. Do. Greg Bach, our guest last hour, said Tron. I remember that game. That was kind of a big one for a while. Conrad said Asteroids. So there you go. But let us know what you think. What is your favorite arcade game? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. And you can also let us know on the app by sending us a message there. And if you're watching the radio tonight on the stream on YouTube, Facebook, or X, drop us a stream comment like Stacy Sue did. And she said, Miss Pac-Man. Stacy thinks the female Pac-Man never got married. But they're probably related. Yeah. They're probably their last name Pac-Man. I mean, what are the odds, right?
Was there any Pac-Man kids?
Was there a junior Pac-Man? It's funny. There might have been.
There was, and he wore a little tiny hat.
Okay. That's great. Wow. Good memory. I forgot all about that. So let's read some text now, because we've got Mike Clemens coming up at 6:35 after the news at the bottom of the hour. He's going to talk Packers Bears rubber match here in the playoffs. They're 1-1 this year against each other, but it's all the marbles, folks, tomorrow night at Soldier Field in Chicago. It is going to be I think I said this last night, Con. I hope if my team is going to lose, I hope it's a blowout. I want to know right from the get-go, especially since I'll be in Chicago. I'm still working on tickets. Probably not going to happen, so it'll just be fun to be there. But I think I want to know early on how the night is going to go. What about you? Would you rather see the Packers lose in a close one or see the Packers win big? Where are you at with this?
Of course I want to see them win big. I mean, it's the Bears. I want to see them win by 42 points.
Okay, that's fair.
But
thanks a lot, Conrad. You really know how to make a guy feel good. yeah, they probably won't win by 42, but remember, I think it was a few years. Aaron Rodgers hung a 50-burger on the Bears, didn't he?
That was 42-0 at halftime.
Yeah, that's great. They were dominant, but the second half, they only scored like a touchdown, right?
They probably went into the locker room feeling pretty good. Probably not much
Bears
to talk
really
about.
Tighten things up in that halftime and prevented the Packers from doubling that score. Anyway, I just think it's fun. Then I could go do something. I could go to a comedy club or see a movie or something if I know it's a blowout right from the get-go. So anyway, that probably sounds like I'm a skeptic. But either way, Mike Clemens will steer us right here, folks, at 6:35. He's got some great sound bites he's going to play. We'll check. We'll ask him about the weather, maybe the turf in Soldier Field, about if this has ever happened before. We were talking about this in hour one. If the Bears and Packers had ever faced each other three times within like a 6-week period. Now, it's such an old rivalry. There's a good chance that's happened, but nothing comes to mind, at least not in the last like 2 or 3 decades. So we'll talk to Mike. And it is a bar band Friday night, folks. Terry Barr will be here at 7:35, bringing us fantastic music. And one of the artists, just a little teaser here, is one of our faves, Katie Scullin. We've had Katie on the show a couple times, although it's been a while, but she's performed live on Nightlight before, and she has a new album coming out. So Terry will drop by in the third hour for bar band Friday night and tell us all about Katie Scullin's new endeavor, as well as another artist she's going to introduce us to tonight. So that'll be fun. We've got some text here we should get to. Brett from Brown Deer says, he says tomorrow snow across the entire state. That is in the morning. That's correct. But I think, I don't know. I'm not scared. We're not supposed to get a blizzard or anything. I don't think.
I hope not.
Yeah. Why? What do you got planned?
I'm going to watch the Packers game.
Now, where are you going to watch it, Con?
I'm going to Appleton, my brother's, and then we're going to go, I think, to Tanner's in Appleton, Kimberly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that one of those places, do you have to get there really early?
Yes.
Okay. Like, how early do you have to get there?
About, like, 8 hours earlier.
Come on.
I don't even think
I'd watch the game.
Probably, I don't know, probably hour and a half.
All right. I could do that. You're going to be loaded by the opening kickoff. That's the problem with that.
Yeah,
you have already
puked
three times.
Oh, well. I'll have one beer, maybe, you know?
All right. When's the last time you vomited?
It's been a very, very, very long time. My 21st.
That's not that long.
I mean,
dude, you're only like 26 or 27. It's not that long
ago. I mean, five years.
You see yourself holding it down, though, tomorrow? You're not going to overdo it?
But that my 21st, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't do it before then, so.
Okay. That's fair. You probably built up some tolerance there since your last vomiting.
I was force-fed shots, you know, for my 21st, you know.
So, by your parents, which is awesome. Brett is elaborating. All right, we were talking about this, and Brett said the Bears and the Packers have had 3 meetings in 34 days. So that's less than 5 weeks. Thank you for that, Brett. I wasn't sure about that, but that's a lot. There shouldn't be any surprises tomorrow night. Tom from New Berlin says, still trying to figure out Pong. He's talking to, that's in response to our question of the night, your favorite arcade game.
Yeah, that's
and
a tough
Pong
game.
Was about the most basic game you could play. It was just two lines and you hit the ball back and forth. And at the time, I remember as a kid, have you played Pong yet? If you played Pong, that's what we're excited about. It's all we had. Thank you, Tom. Patrick in the 608 says there are at least two arcades in Madison. Yeah, I was at one for a film festival party, I think last year, but there's arcades, but they're more like adult arcades. They're not like the kid arcades anymore. And it's just kind of a different vibe. They serve alcohol, a lot of them, but they're still fun. Patrick says Tron was his favorite. Thank you, Patrick. Brett from Brown Deer says Quitting Day. I'm not going to read that one, Connor.
That made me laugh when I saw that came in.
I usually look at the text before I read them, but Brett is referring to a self-pleasuring technique. That's all. I'll just leave it at that. I could probably say that word, but I don't know, Con. I don't need to get us fine.
Yeah.
I don't get that kind of scratch. John Murray in the 608 says, evening, gents. Really liked the Stranger Things pinball machine next door at the arcade bar on Willie Street. Yeah, that's where I was. That was where the party was. I did not notice the pinball game, though. He says, like you, I am not a really talented gamer, but after a couple of years, I am kicking its ass. It's the only game I play there. It took me 6 months to achieve a bonus game score. Oh, I love that John is like still into this stuff. That's awesome, John. Thank you, buddy. Pat from Fitchburg in the 608 says, hey, I can't narrow it down to just one, but there was a guest game that was a laser disc called Joust, and Frogger was the other one. My name is Pat from Fitchburg. Pat, that's a great text. I forgot about Frogger as well. And I do remember Joust. You remember that, Con?
Frogger was one of my favorites too. Just thinking about that. Yeah. But I didn't play it in the arcade. I actually had the CD disc for the PC when I was
like Nintendo or something. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fun game. Like I mentioned earlier, Centipede was fun. I thought that was kind of an intense game. You could really get going on Centipede. Monica from Mount Horeb says, mine is Super Mario because who doesn't love a guy with a great mustache? Monica, check out my Facebook picture. That's all I'm saying. Right there in all of its Frank Zappa glory. It's been called a porn stash, whatever you want to call it. But I appreciate that Monica likes a good mustache. She says, guess it will stay. It will stay. Skip to my loo and not Schwabba to my loo because you're so anti-skipping. Oh, that's funny. That's great. Come on, Skip Schwabba has a nice ring to it. My coworker and I were skipping down the hall at work a few years ago between realizing we looked like idiots and the looks we got, we couldn't stop laughing at ourselves. You should try it. It'll help lighten your mood. Chris from Waterloo. Thank you, Monica. That's great. Chris from Waterloo says, arcade game is Crystal Castle. I don't know that one. You know that one, Con?
No.
Interesting. All right, so folks, we are going to, we've got some more texts we'll get to soon. Mike Clemens is coming up after news, sports, and weather, which is just about 10 minutes away. And when we come back after this very short break, I'm going to tell you where you can meet some really nice people. These hobbies are supposed to attract nice people. That's coming up next. We'll read some more of your texts, and we will keep this train rolling. It is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All I ever wanted, all I ever needed, it's here in my arms. Love that tune. Enjoy the Silence by Depeche Mode. That would have been my first purchase if I were a lot younger. I could see myself making Depeche Mode my first purchase. Great tune. Our question of the night, folks, is what was your first music purchase? You can share an album, CD, tape, MP3, instrument, concert, whatever. What was your introduction into beautiful music? Stuart J. Waddles is coming up at 6:35, just after news, sports, and weather, which is just 7 minutes away. Eric in the 608 says, Rick Springfield, Jesse's Girl on a 45 record. That's so great. And I doubt you still have that, Eric, but it would be cool if you did. Monica in Mount Horeb in the 608 says, Five Flags Center in Dubuque had a community garage sale, and I bought an 8-track of Alice Cooper's Welcome to My Nightmare and two piano books, Gordon Lightfoot and Carole King collections. So I've really been enjoying Conrad's Carole King obsession. you know what? Conrad and I have been working together for a couple years now, and I do love it when I give like bumper music, and I can tell what, you know, what song he likes. So that one, were you a Bruce fan, Con, before we started doing this? Like casual, maybe?
No, I wouldn't say completely, no.
Okay.
I didn't.
But now you are. Now you like Carole King.
That's Carole awesome. King's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, you probably knew about her already. But Gordon Lightfoot, Monica, that's a great one. I imagine I'm going to do a follow-up with Stuart about Gordon Lightfoot because I know he's he was on a Gordo kick recently. 414 says, my first music purchase was the New Kids on the Block cassette. That's awesome. Great choice, 414. What did they sing? I'm trying to remember. I was not a... Everything I was just about to say was like NSYNC or Boys to Men. I get my boy bands mixed up. But great text. Thank you. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad, says, way back in the day, I bought the 45 single from Donny Osmond, The Osmonds' One Bad Apple. I don't remember. I mean, I remember the Osmond show. You remember that, Steve? Friday night, it was the Osmonds. It was like the whole family. But I just don't remember any of their songs. But they were huge in the 70s. When I was a little kid, I remember it seemed like every TV, no matter what house I was in, had the Osmonds on. Matt in the 715 in Eau Claire says, embarrassed to say, Pete, Hall & Oates. Private Eyes. The good news, this dates me perfectly to be in my formative years in 1984. Best year ever for music. Really? He says, hey, is that Freedom Rock Man? I never considered that, Matt. Is that the best? I mean, sometimes you love music because it just brings back great memories. And sometimes the music is actually the best music of the generation. So it's all relative. And if that's your opinion, I respect it, Matt. Thank you, sir. Tony the Trucker says, Pete purchased a GE transistor radio in 1966 with paper route money, carrying it everywhere, listening to AM radio. I thought I was the coolest kid anywhere. Cold remedy is to warm some Jim Beam in the micro and sip it slowly.
All right.
Another Wisconsin suggestion that involves alcohol to chase away your cold. And you know what? If you could make me a mocktail of that somehow, Tony, I would do that. Listen, if I could get rid of my cold right now, I'd have some Jim Beam. But I think it would just get me buzzed. And maybe, I don't know, make me forget about my cold for a few minutes. Either way, thank you for the suggestion. Tony the Trucker, love when Tony texts. Rin from Madison? How would you say that, Con? Rin or Ryan? Rin.
Ryan?
Okay. Ryan, according to Conrad in the 608, says first musical purchase, The Grassroots 45, The River Is Wide. I remember that tune. Thank you very much for the text, Rin or Ryan. Awesome stuff. Nick from Marshall in the 608 says the first CD I bought was Legend by Bob Marley. First LP I bought was Natty Dread, also by Bob Marley. And my first musical instrument was the melodica, which I have been fascinated with ever since I first heard the reggae artist Augustus Pablo, who was known for playing his melodica and only sang on one song to the best of my knowledge. And I have a lot of his CDs and LPs and even a 10-inch single. Oh, my God, I remember those, too. And some 45s he produced for other artists on his record label titled Rockers. That was some serious, that was a deep dive. Thank you, Nick. Awesome stuff. John from Columbia County in 608 says UFO live in ButtCon. You think that's a real thing, Con?
I have no idea.
he could be doing like one of those things where the school kids call in names like Phil McCracken, stuff like that. I don't know if he's messing with me, but I trust that John is being serious. Live in ButtCon in Japan, 1970s. Think I screwed up ButtCon. I need an explanation.
I tried typing it in and just can you
nothing
guess
came up?
Can you guess what comes up?
Bitcoin. Something, oh, Bitcoin. I don't think John's typing about Bitcoin. We know that doesn't sound like our John. But that's okay if you are John. Tyler in the 608 says a 45 of come on, people. Now smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now by the Youngbloods. That is a great tune, Tyler. I could use a little bit of that right now, right? Things are a little crazy. Love that song. Paul in Bayview in the 414 says 45 RPM Brandy by Looking Glass. Awesome tune. 33 RPM Dream. Oh, Dream On by Aerosmith. It's just one of those songs like in my neighborhood. I remember that growing up. It feels like I always heard Dream On coming from somebody's radio. Outstanding texts, folks. We got some social media texts we'll get to as well. Stuart J. Wattles is coming up after the news. It is a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here. We are having some fun on a Friday, and I'm so glad you're here. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's all about the music tonight, folks. It is a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here in Act 3 a little earlier tonight because we're going to talk to her about some of the great pieces she wrote for civicmedia.us. And what better night to have a question. The question that we have tonight is, what was your first music purchase? And John was a real sport and showed us the album cover to a UFO. That we couldn't pronounce. We didn't know if it was ButtCon or what, but and I do kind of remember the album cover. Thank you, John, for sharing that. It's like a very dystopian kind of, had a creepy look to it, but I can't say I remember the music, but either way, he says he still has it. So that's cool. So let's transition to our next guest. This is exciting. I'm very excited to have this next guy on the show. He's one of our frequent flyers here at Nightlight. And I always enjoy talking to Stuart J. Wattles, regardless of topic. He does an outstanding job covering news here at Civic Media, where he is the news director in Southeast Wisconsin, home of the Chicago Bears. Conrad?
I don't know.
Let's talk to him. Let's hear from the man himself, Mr. Stuart J. Wattles. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Just like a paperback novel. How you doing, bud?
Listen, the last time I saw you, you were singing Gordon Lightfoot. And yeah, I just wonder if you took a break.
Yeah. Okay. But that you just conjured it up in the past 15 minutes. So thanks.
Of course. Yeah. I'll have you
just
singing
like an old time movie.
We were sending pictures to sort of exemplify the lyrics. That was fun after your last appearance.
Yeah.
About a ghost from a wishing well in a castle dark. You sent me a picture of a big castle dark. Outstanding stuff.
Well, and then people in the comments aren't knowing what's going on unless they know what's going on.
Yeah, it's just the inside jokes go over great on the radio. Are you now when you were here last time? Because I had a Gordon Lightfoot question. I don't want to have to go back to it because that would be really aberrant behavior.
Past that point in my life, Pete.
What?
No, go ahead. I don't know. Just go ahead and bring it.
You just discovered Gordon Lightfoot? I mean, no. I'm sure you'd heard of him.
Here's how it happened. Again, the anniversary of the ship going down happened. And then I get to thinking, what kind of madman writes like an 8-minute song about that? And it turns into a hit within like a year. And then you start down the path.
That's how I got
down the rabbit hole.
He must have been like, this is a very personal song. I feel bad for these guys in this ship. It was a cool, dark, but cool event. I'm just going to write a song about it. I guarantee I've never met the man, unfortunately, but that he never would have said this is going to be a top 10 hit or whatever.
Yeah, it's all very strange. And that it was a hit. Not only did he record this 8-minute song, they released it. Someone had the cojones to release this as a single.
Right.
So it's interesting. And that's how I got down the Lightfoot hole. But I've come back up the hole.
Okay.
I've not gone down any more holes since then, Pete.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have a top three? And I promise I do have other questions that are not Lightfoot related.
We're going back into Lightfoot.
Do you have a top three? Because I know you like Sundown.
If you could read my mind, I think is number one. I've come away from Lightfoot with that's one of the best songs ever.
I agree.
You gotta listen to the background. There's some picking going on there that is next level.
That's one of those songs you put on and you get your headphones on as loud as you can because it's not like a rocker, you know, but you hear the intricacies and the little details. I 100% agree with you. Did I send you that video of him when he was like 72 playing it?
He lost a step there at the end. There's some time point in the 80s, there's a medical thing, and like the bravado was gone from his voice. Like he had that affect and that he wasn't able to do that anymore.
Right. That's interesting. I do like, I can get past that sometimes if the, like the soul is still there. And when I see what he's saying, it's like Springsteen, you know, or one of these great, songwriters that still feel it. And I do agree with you. I think he had a minor stroke at some point, but a stroke.
I think he had a tracheotomy for some reason. And I think that might've, there was a few speculations about what happened there.
All right. Well, should we move on from,
first of all, I'm sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you.
Uncle Pat, right?
Pat Murphy, heck of a guy. Hell of a guy.
Heck of a tribute.
He is the definition of the phrase hell of a guy. Yeah. He took care of his friends. You just don't make him better than Pat Murphy. So thank you very much for that. Yeah. I appreciate that, Stuart. And here's a weird, just a quick aside. My daughter, where she goes to college, is roommates with her second cousin, first cousin once removed, Pat Murphy's granddaughter. It just worked out.
Small world, awesome. Huh?
Very small world. Great stuff. One of the weird serendipitous moments in life that makes it so great. So I will keep it on music, Stuart. Do you remember your first purchase?
I was trying to think about this. I do remember when I was little using my own money. Now I'm talking like 7 or 8 years old, buying a single cassette. And it was Rockin' Sydney, Don't Mess With My Toot Toot. And, you know, now that I got older, I know that, you know, Toot Toot's talking about his aunt, but as a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old kid, I'm Toot Toot, hilarious. Connie, check the chat if you want to bump out with that. But yeah, Don't Mess With My Toot Toot. It's like it's a Cajun song. It's a Creole song from some guy from Louisiana singing about his aunt.
That's what Toot Toot means?
I believe it is Toot Toot or aunt or grandma. It's something in French.
And you're like thinking he went there. Like, I can't believe
he's
said
singing
that.
About passing wind. I'm 7 or 8 years old. It's hilarious. But on from there, like the first album that I bought after that, a few years later, it was NWA. And I'm not sure I can even say the title of that one.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. But that's
had a warning label on it.
Yeah, no kidding. There was a great, who was the comic? Barry Sobel, I think, that said, do you think the band NWA, how did they go? Do you think Northwest Airlines is really ticked off that there's a band called NWA?
Probably the National Wrestling Alliance was probably upset as well.
Yeah, right.
Old Ric Flair over there, like, catching strays.
I do remember, like, I said Deep Purple was my first. It was, like, 1978 maybe or something like that. And I bought it. I walked a mile with a friend, and he bought an album, and I bought an album. But I said earlier I was a fan of that album for, like, 4 months, and I don't know what happened to it. But one of the early albums I bought was Boston, that debut album that Boston did, where every song is outstanding. And I probably still have that vinyl somewhere.
I'm interested in the listening method. You're talking about an album. Mine were first tapes. I did buy a CD eventually. That was Nirvana and Naughty by Nature on the same day.
Oh,
but
nice.
did you get into 8-tracks? That was kind of within your time frame, right?
It was. They were just kind of. I mean, what I bought was vinyl. That was still the go to. But the 8-tracks, like, you know, some, you know, the cool kids' parents had 8-track players. We didn't. And I guess those still are great quality, right? 8-tracks?
From what I understand, it's similar to a cassette tape. It's just kind of presented differently. It's not like it's in the reel to reel instead of going through that 8-track crazy mechanism. I remember having 8-tracks around when I was a kid too, but it's curious about how were there big 8-track collectors back then?
There were, and I think if I remember correctly, you had like a 4-track, like you could push a button and it would change to a different song. It was like a program thing, and I don't know how that worked. I know cassette, you'd fast forward, rewind, but it was different with 8-tracks.
If you're familiar with old timey radio, where they had like the spots on the carts, so like they had a specific actual cart that looked like that thing that they'd take in and push out, which would have all the commercials on back then.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's great. All right. So let's talk about, I thought this was kind of cool. I kind of asked you what was going on in Southeast Wisconsin. You said there's a drone for first responders in Milwaukee that they're, what are they trying to do with that, Stuart?
Yeah, they're, this is like a trial program, and it's extremely interesting because so you call 911, you got a problem, right? Instead of the officer getting there first, a drone will get there first to see what's doing. So you're going to have like somebody flying this, a sworn officer flying this drone into the situation, 200 feet in the air, I think is where they're estimating, looking down and relaying that to an officer that's on their way. So they're trying to, I think you can figure that out. They're trying to assess the situation to try and go in as safely as possible. It's a trial program. I think it's like one of 50 nationwide, but extremely interesting. And I think a good use of technology. I want the drones on the interstate telling somebody they're going too slow in the fast lane, or vice versa, you know, or tell the semis to move it on over. You got another lane over there.
Right.
I'm serious.
I'm totally with you on that. We said last night, we talked about signs that someone's a bad driver. And one of the signs was when the handle in the passenger seat is worn from people grabbing it. So hard.
Yeah. Oh, they just get oblivious. They're sitting in there in the far left lane, and people have to go around them, and it's a lot of death there on the highways, Pete, and I want to end it.
I'm with you. And not only that, and I've talked about this before because I have a commute typically to the studio, and I know once in a while we all space out. Someone passes us, you know, we're in the left lane. It's like, oh, crap, sorry, and you move over. The people that really drive me nuts are the ones where you pass them, other people pass them, and they just still stay there like, do you not know anything?
I think they're oblivious until there's somebody passing them. I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody's passing me. I got to speed up. Oh, geez. I think there's an element of that to it. And it's just not a confidence. You got to go in being confident.
So the drone would basically get there and tell the other police force, well, this is serious. There's a guy with a gunshot wound or something, or this is really nothing. It's just two people arguing or something.
That's exactly it. Or it's a crowd of 80 that's fighting, or there's a bunch of cars in an intersection. You know, it can get relay. It can give you more. Hey, we're going to need more than two of you. So it's very interesting and a sign of things to come. I think eventually, I can see every department everywhere having a drone for this purpose. I think a lot of them already have them more in the fire and rescue department, but I think police are going to naturally use something like this. I hope they would.
Yeah, I think it's great too. Or it makes sense anyway. And
just one more thing, I'm thinking about this now. What is the offense for shooting that thing out of the air? You think it's got to be a pretty hefty,
right?
That's a life sentence because you don't want to encourage that sort of thing. I don't know. Maybe not a life sentence. It's maybe going too far, but you want to discourage people shooting your drone out of the air.
Because someone's going to do it at some point.
Of course they are. Right.
There's always one drone shooter in the crowd. So have you seen the show Pluribus?
No, I've heard about it. I hear it's a big thing.
It is a big thing. It got Emmy nominated. I think it sucks, but they have drones all over that show. It's kind of a dystopian type thing, and they have drones flying over. So I don't know. I just thought that would be a good talking point if you'd seen it. I would love to have gotten
it. It's not so much the drones that concern me. It's the artificial intelligence that's scanning all the faces.
Yeah.
And, you know, adding it to databases and exactly. You know, that whole thing.
Absolutely. Hey, so we're going to talk about, did you, and we'll probably have to do this after the break, but I know that at some point in, you know, the Packers are soon to be, it would seem, the only open air stadium in the NFC North, regardless of where the Bears build their stadium. But I remember reading that Kenosha was not out of the picture.
Kenosha's out of the picture.
It has to be, right?
It was never part of the picture. It got close. We're talking Waukegan close, in which okay. at this point, who knows? I think Waukegan could still be in the mix based on what you know, it's been going on. Actually, the past like day and a half, there's been a lot of motion in Chicago yeah. and Indiana. So that's it's getting interesting, but Wisconsin has never been a plan. Never, they shouldn't consider that at all. Although it's 50-50 here in Kenosha.
All right. Well, that's good. All right. Well, let's pick up there after this very short break. Stuart J. Waddles is here. We are not talking about Gordon Lightfoot anymore, folks, unless there's a demand for it. We'll go back to it. We'll do an encore. I'm just saying it's not on the agenda. So we're coming right back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Don't mess with my tutu. Don't mess with my tutu. Now you can have the other woman. But don't mess with my tutu. When she was born in a bright suit.
Who's the other woman?
Toot is a term of endearment for a significant other.
Toot, toot. Okay, so yeah. If you can mess with the other women, but not my toot. Okay, yeah. That's the first thing you ever bought, music-wise.
Yeah, and I don't know. I must have heard it somewhere. I don't know. We did a lot of traveling as a kid, so there was might have been a stray radio station playing that song somewhere. And
love it. That's so great.
Probably, I'm guessing probably some truck stop had it.
Yeah. That is the voice of Stuart J. Waddles, folks. He is the news director for Southeast Wisconsin here at Civic Media. We have him on the show often to talk about really fun stuff like the TV show Bluey and Gordon Lightfoot and where the Bears are going to build their stadium. I love that you're kind of – when you said before, Stuart, that Racine or Kenosha was 50-50, did you mean Bear-Packer fans?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
there's
yeah, definitely.
That many Bear fans?
There are.
I have no idea. Wow.
Yeah, there are. Well, and part of it is the influx of people moving from Illinois. Part of it is that Kenosha, according to the federal government, is part of the Chicago media market. Kenosha's in the DMA for Chicago. So part of that required when they put cable television in, you could put an antenna on your roof and get Chicago stations. But when Jones Intercable came in the 80s, they were told you've got to provide the Chicago and Milwaukee stations. So you were able to get Mark Giangreco down there in Chicago doing his sports. And that's what I ended up doing. I'm a Packers fan, but I grew up watching Chicago news. And it's not that I hate the Bears as much as the Vikings, although the past like week has kind of brought it all back up. Yeah. There's a lot of folks. Head on to the Brat Stop and you'll see.
There are Chicago radio stations that do broadcasts from the Brat Stop, which part of it is just because people from Chicago love Wisconsin, but also.
Well, that ownership group also has a station in Milwaukee and they kind of do a combo unit. They do a combo broadcast. They like, I don't know if they go upstairs or they get out the Parkway Chateau in the back, but they do a combo broadcast. But enough about other radio stations, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. What are we doing here? No, but like, here's what I don't understand about the Bears. Like, Green Bay, you have the best situation you could possibly have. The city owns the team. They never seem to have these. Like, the Bears have been bullied by a park district for decades. And it's like, you don't know the cards you hold? Like, how has it come to this? And now they threaten finally to go to Northwest Indiana. And frankly, Stuart, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Northwest Indiana is interesting in the way that Kenosha is interesting, not for a Bears home, but just because it's on the Great Lakes and Kenosha is in much better shape. But Northwest Indiana could be due for a redo, so to speak, like you know, with climate change, people are coming to the Midwest and the Bears could get in on the ground floor there. Is that weird if they're in Indiana?
I mean, the Bears would be closer to... In Indiana, they would be closer to Chicago than the 49ers are to San Francisco right now.
Right.
So even the proximity isn't such a thing. And people in that area, again, you get to Chicago media market. You get the TV, you get the radio from Chicago. So you're kind of in Chicagoland. I don't think that would be a problem. I think what they're trying to do is play Indiana off of Illinois. Ultimately, they want Illinois to come through on a bunch of tax dollars to pay for infrastructure. They don't want the state to pay for the actual stadium. Can you guys redo these roads for us? Could you fix up this the train station? So yeah. That's what they want from Illinois, and Illinois is playing hardball, as a lot of people think that they should. But Indiana came along and they're like, yeah, sure, we'll build you. You can have it. No taxes for a while. Sure. That's kind crazy. Of renewed the whole, which it's leading to people in Arlington Heights calling down to Springfield in Illinois saying, hey, push this thing along. What are you guys doing? We're going to lose them.
Right.
And as somebody who kind of lives in the area, it may sound weird, but I'm kind of in Chicagoland here in Chicago. I'm all for that sort of thing in Arlington Heights because you're not so much for the Bears, but the Final Fours would be there.
Right.
You would get the biggest of the biggest WrestleMania events. You'd get the college football championships. I mean, any big major event that anywhere is getting, it would be 50 minutes from the state line.
You know, it's interesting. It doesn't really affect me. I mean, I'm a Bears fan, but I'm a Wisconsin resident and I live far from Chicago, 4 hours, 3.5 hours, whatever. So it doesn't really affect me, but to me, you got that gorgeous lakefront, one of the most beautiful settings in the NFL.
Work something out.
I mean, get something done. It's just great ambassadorship for the city, and Chicago's a great town. I don't understand at all. But Illinois politics is a different situation altogether. Yeah.
You couple that with the Bears ownership.
Right.
You got a dangerous situation there.
Right. Again, bullied by a park system, you know, for decades.
Yeah, so you're a Bears fan, huh? I had no idea when I pitched talking about how the Bears still suck on your program. I'm sorry, Pete.
Well, listen.
Connie, why didn't you tell me?
Well, Conrad and I go back and forth. It's fun. Like, to me, I've been living in Packer country. We moved from Chicago when I was a kid, and that's where I was scarred. Like, I had people in my face. I was like, I didn't understand the rivalry till I moved to Wisconsin. And then I lived in Chicago a lot again. Now I've been back in Wisconsin for a long time. So I'm like, it's fun. I've had another guy, a friend of mine, who was a Packer fan living in Chicago. And we've had it. I just think the rivalry is great. And I love it. So I hope we're still friends, too.
We are still friends, of course, Pete. I'm not going to slam you down in the end zone and break your collarbone or anything. No.
Conrad would. And he almost benches 300 pounds. So we got to watch out for that guy. Hey, we've got about a minute left, buddy. Are you watching anything you could recommend? Any binge watch? Something binge worthy?
Pete Schwabba show. That's what I'm watching right now. No, I'm.
Just because you're on it?
No. Football's great. Greatest show on TV. Best drama going.
And you don't know how it's going to end. It's perfect. Yep. It's awesome drama. Totally agree.
Best show
with you,
on
buddy.
TV.
Hey, always fun, pal. Thank you so much. And I promise next time you're here to bring up Gordon Lightfoot yet again.
Of course. We'll weasel in away. Just right. Like an old time movie.
Stuart J. Waddles, folks. Follow him on social media or listen to him here at Civic Media. He does an outstanding job. When we come back, it's Act 3. It's a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here. We're going to read some of your texts. And I'm going to tell you about a catnapper. That'll be fun. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.